Here's a preview from today's episode.
For 3 minutes or 60 seconds or whatever you can tolerate, I am just going to brag. Nobody ever has to see this. I'm just going to be braggalicious for a hot minute. And in the grand scheme of my life, it's okay to brag that much, right? Like just give yourself permission before you do it and then brag on yourself, right? Because that'll start helping you connect the dots in terms of things that you've achieved, things that you're really great at, like things that you have as a gift.
Hello, beautiful souls. You're listening to the Angels and Awakening podcast. Did you know that you can listen to this show everywhere podcasts are found? It's true. Now, I have 3 free gifts just for you. First gift, I give away a new reading each week to a person who's left a 5-star positive review of this show, then submitted it to me using the contact form at theangelmedium.com/contact. I hope I'm calling your number next. Second gift, if you'd like a new daily angel message, join me on Insta at Angel Podcast. Third free gift, if you'd like to know the name of one of your guardian angels so that you can work with them even more closely, go to the homepage of my website, theangelmedium.com, and submit your contact info at the very top. I'll email you back personally with the name of one of your angels. Okay, as we begin the show, I want you to feel the presence of your angels surrounding you. And just know that the loving, positive messages you resonate with today are messages for you from your angels and loved ones on the other side. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Angels and Awakening podcast. I'm your host and author, Julie Jancis. We have today for you Nikki Nash. She's the author of Market Your Genius. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness, Julie. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, of course. Thank you for being here. So I want to start here. Everybody has this genius within. Everybody has gifts, talents, abilities to share with the world. Why are some people stepping in and sharing them? And why? What's keeping some people back?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing that is keeping people back is an internal dialogue, right? So often people have, I mean, it's natural. We all have thoughts, but the thoughts may be, who cares about anything I share? Like, I haven't done anything really extraordinary. Why would anybody want to listen to me? Like, I don't know if I can actually do this or make money doing this. Like, all of these thoughts essentially keep people really, like, our whole body is designed to do, which is keep us comfortable and safe, right? Like, if you think about it, our mind keeps us comfortable and safe and out of harm's way. Our, like, muscles are designed to, like, to stay in habit, like, to just keep helping you move the way you've always moved. And, like, you know, like, even our weight, it's like, if you, for anybody who has tried to lose weight and they're like, why is it so much easier to gain it back than it is to lose it? It's because our body likes a state of, like, equilibrium, right? Like, so it's always going to go, all right, well, let's get you back to what we know, where we're comfortable, where you've been for the last 2, 3, 4 years. And so many people stay in a space that's comfortable because putting yourself out there, sharing your genius, sharing your gifts, it's scary. It's new. It's foreign. So that's why what holds most people back. And I think the ones that do it just had enough belief to take the first step, right? Like, you don't need enough belief to do the whole thing. You just need enough belief to take the first step, right?
Oh my goodness. So this is so funny. I just interviewed Stephanie Harrison from the New Happy Co. before, and this came up over here, but it's coming up again. So my day went rehearsed TED Talk in front of committee, Stephanie's interview, and now your interview. And the title of the TED Talk that I'm doing is Your Next First Step. Because you only need to take your next first step. And Spirit had him say it to her too, because all day long I've been like, Spirit, am I on the right track? Am I on the right track? So they keep bringing in this title over and over again. And I love it because it's so true. When you really look at it, all any of us really have is the next first step. That's it.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Is like, what's my next first step? What's my next baby step? What's the next thing I'm going to do that's going to move me a little bit closer to where I'm trying to go?
And this is from a person, you, Nikki, who you work with CEOs, entrepreneurs, people who are doing great things within the world constantly. And maybe you can explain this to the listeners. Nobody has the owner's manual.
I like to say this because my story, I left corporate to work at tech startups. But the reason I did that is because I wanted to go out on my own. And I literally said to myself, I had this thought that, oh, I'm going to learn what to do from like people who have already like at a startup where they've already like figured this stuff out. And then I got there and I'm like, cool, cool, cool. Nobody knows what they're doing. Like literally nobody knows what they're doing. They're just making stuff up as they go along and asking other people what they did. But even those people are like, I kind of just figured this out and it worked for me. It may or may not work for you. You just kind of have to figure it out. And it, after about, I think it was like a year and a half or almost 2 years, I was like, why am I still here working at a company where we don't know what we're doing? We're just taking steps, moving us further along when I could be doing that in my own business. So that's how I ended up leaving to do my own thing. But nobody has a manual. Nobody has a blueprint. Like I have principles. I may use the word blueprint. Like, I'm going to give you a blueprint. My blueprint is really principles. And like, and still you have to fill in the gaps, right? You have to fill in what makes sense for you. And so there is no, you know, here's the 100% guaranteed pathway to success. If I were going to give people a 100% guaranteed pathway to success, it would be don't stop. And eventually you will fall on your face enough to be able to ride a bike.
Yeah, I have a quote by Babe Ruth hanging up in my bedroom so that I see it every morning first thing. And it just says something to the effect of, it's hard to stop a person who doesn't give up. And that's it. You just keep going.
Literally. It's like, just keep going. Yeah. Just keep swimming.
And Spirit is saying right now to just pause and reflect on this, because you said something that made me think, that's been a huge frustration my entire life. I think I started looking at teachers and being like, what's the right answer? Like, just give me the manual, give me the right answer. And then it transitioned into looking at my boss at first jobs and just being like, okay, well, what's the right way to do this? Like, what's the right way to do life? And there's always this frustration. And then I think even coming into this podcast and interviewing different spiritual experts, like, well, what's the right way? Like, what is, and there is none. There's just what works for you when it works for you in the moment that it works for you, the right time.
The only way to know if a decision was a good or a bad one is when you're looking at the rearview mirror. And even then, it's probably like on your deathbed looking at the rearview mirror, because even if you, in the short term, you may have been like, that wasn't a good idea, but it might've been the best thing for you in the long term. So it's like, you don't know what the best thing to do. You don't see the big picture of everything. You just kind of have to make a decision that feels right, or that makes sense, or that works for you moment by moment, day by day. And ideally trying not to drastically change your mind every 5 seconds either. It's like, I'm all right, I'm going on this path. I've made the decision. I'm going to commit to this decision, but I may have days where it feels really good and I may have days where it feels really bad, but I've committed and I'm going to keep moving forward.
And the angels just said, and there, the two of you have just described what faith truly is.
Yes. Yeah. Like, if people want to know why I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't make it, it's because there's the statistics on certain things. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people don't have enough faith in anything, right? You know what I mean? Like, I try to explain people who want the perfect marketing strategy for me. They're like, Nikki, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I'm like, cool. Unless you walk up to someone, threaten their life, make them wire money into your bank account, and then run to a foreign country that doesn't have like extradition, I can't really guarantee that you're going to make any money or that you're going to sign any clients. Like, I literally—
Which is called robbery.
Yeah, like literally, unless you commit a crime, which I am not advising you to do. I can't guarantee success. What I can do, right, is have you show up and take actions that put you in front of people who are like, oh my goodness, I need your help, or want to work with you, or want that. I can help you get in front of those people and clearly articulate
what it is you do and the benefit it brings to the world and why people should work with you. But ultimately, you got to trust God or the universe or spirit, like whatever it is you believe, to connect the dots.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a download the other day. I say the other day, it was probably months ago. It's probably years ago. I'm like, what's time? It's all an illusion to me anyway. But I remember it was in reference to dating, but I keep using it with my clients because I believe dating is in business are pretty much the same thing. And the message I got was, your future husband is looking for you. Make yourself available for him to find you. Like, essentially get your butt out of your apartment, because you can do a lot of things, but having my dream future husband accidentally somehow magically end up in my building, go up to the top floor and somehow find my apartment, knock on the door, isn't as easy as me like leaving the four walls of the building or whatever, right? So it's like, put yourself out there and the person will find you. Like, my job is to be available or to be visible and available. And God's job is to like get us at the same place at the same time, right?
Yes, to connect the dots, to put all the puzzle pieces together. So what you're talking about is how we really step into our power, is exactly what you're saying. And I totally see where you're going with this. People, every soul on earth has gifts, talents, abilities to share with this world. And I think that not in the spiritual community, but maybe just who I am and the way that I've talked previously on the podcast. And we have a lot of people here where I feel like I'm a bridge, where you don't have to go way, way woo woo, but we're spiritual. And there's a lot of people who came from this religious, deeply religious backgrounds in all different types of religions. And there seems to be this just ingrainment within our minds of, well, Nikki, like if I put myself out there and make myself available to share my gifts with the world, like, is it about the money? You know, it's not about the money. We know behind the scenes, it's not about the money. It's about sharing your gifts. But people have a hard time accepting payment for their gifts, when the fact of the matter is, it costs a lot to run a business.
Yeah. So it costs a lot to run a business. And if we want to get like really like deep into the whole concept of money in the first place, we as human beings made that crap up. So like, if you really want to like in my mind, anything that has been made up on this planet, I decide that I can make up what it means to me, right? So I'm like, just make up what money means to you. Money to me is opportunities to impact more people. Money to me is opportunities to serve at a higher level. Money is opportunity to give at a higher level. So like, I'm like, give me as much money as you freaking can, because I'm going to do amazing things with it, right? And so if you can start thinking about what is really going on inside of your brain and what you're really thinking, and you can start like unraveling kind of the thought process, you can come to a place where you have your own definition of money and wealth and all that other stuff. Because at the end of the day, like anytime I hear someone who's like, well, I shouldn't get paid for my gifts and talents, I'm like, okay, well, I had a job. I worked a 9 to 5. They were paying me for my gifts and talents. So should you just not make money at all? Like, what's the difference? It's like, like literally, oh, but they're a big company and they can afford it. Okay. Guess what that company's made of? A bunch of different people. Like, it's just people. Money can come to you in any way possible. And so I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to give my gifts to the world. I am going to show up in a way that will resonate with who it's supposed to resonate with. I am going to ask for money, and I'm going to know that I'm going to do great things with that money.
Agreed. Friends, guess what? We're hosting 2 live in-person events, an in-person Angel Reiki School and an in-person spiritual retreat. The first event is the weekend of June 1st in Oak Brook, Illinois, where I'm teaching the Angel Reiki School. This is where you get certified in mediumship, angel messages, and energy healing all at once. For a limited time, when you register for the Angel Reiki School in person, you'll also get my 8-week online Angel Reiki School. Visit theangelmedium.com/get-certified for details. You'll also find that link in the show notes. It's theangelmedium.com/get-certified. The second live in-person event this year is a spiritual retreat the weekend of October 4th in Oak Brook, Illinois. The spiritual retreat is different in that it's for your own personal growth. The spiritual retreat is all about your own personal healing, your journey, reconnecting with yourself, learning to connect with your angels. And I'm going to talk about all new angels that I've never talked about before anywhere. This spiritual retreat is going to leave you with more personal peace, purpose, clarity, and confidence than ever before. Learn more at theangelmedium.com/retreat. That's theangelmedium.com/retreat. So just to recap, we have the in-person spiritual retreat October 4th for your own personal healing and growth. And the in-person Angel Reiki School June 1st is where you become a medium, angel messenger, and energy healer all at once. Links to details are in the show notes. I can't wait to meet you and hug you in person.
Like, I believe fundamentally that I'm a good person. Am I perfect? No, not at all. But do I think I have good intentions and that I want to do good, great things in the world and that I would commit to that? Yes. So if it was like, if God or spirit, like whatever language or words that folks like to use, if that entity, I'm going to say, or energy is like, hey, Nikki, I want to give you $1 million. Like, here's $1 million. And I'm like, you know what? No, thank you. Because I don't really feel like I should be given money for just my gifts, the gifts that you gave me, right? Like the gifts that you gave me, I don't want to be paid for it. Please put that money somewhere else. Right. And what? Like that makes no sense. I'm literally being divinely asked to like do great things with money. And then I'm basically like saying, sorry, I'm going to reject your wishes as you're looking at the big master picture plan. And who knows what's going to happen to the money after that. Right. So if I think about like, would I rather it go to me and for me to do great things versus someone who's not going to do great things? 100%. Now, could I also make the argument that there might be people, even better people on the planet than I, that could have and use that money? Yes. But if it comes to me, do I think I could make sure that it gets to them as well? Yeah. Right. So it's like, I am just a vehicle for the money to flow through. Like, I'm not going to hoard it. I'm not going to like keep it in under the mattress. I'm not going to keep it piled up in the bank account forever. I'm going to do something good with it. And as long as I know that deep down, then I'm like, yeah, bring it on. Bring as much as you want. I'm going to make sure if my only job is to make sure that the money that shows up to me gets into great hands, then that's how I'm going to look at money.
Yeah. 100%. So while we're on this subject, just tuning into abundance in general, all of us have mindsets that go up and go down and just all around. When you're having like a negative moment or a negative day or just a down day, do you have any abundance hacks that you use yourself to kind of change that around?
My hacks are kind of funny. So I always encourage people to figure out what works best for them, but I find music to be a really great, like music and kind of dance and movement to really help me. So when I have moments where I'm just like thinking small in kind of a lack mentality, just not feeling good about myself or anything, what I like to do is I now, thanks to my neighbor who's really great at this stuff, she hooked up my Alexa. So I won't say it because then she'll start playing, but I'll tell her to play a certain playlist, right? And that playlist will come on and it's all music that's like empowering, like talking about like great, amazing things, right? And I will listen to it and I will sing the words and I'm literally saying them like with a high, great energy, singing and dancing. And like my default, because my body likes habits, my default's just going, oh, I love this song. Let's sing it and dance it. But what's actually happening is I'm saying those things to myself. I'm shifting the space and energy that I'm in. I'm like doing some great things. And then when I'm like dancing and it's still playing, then I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to make my bed because making my bed makes me feel like I have a nice, clean, organized space. So I'm going to leave because I'm in a one bedroom apartment. Like I can open my door and hear the music and like make my bed. So I'll then make my bed or I'll start doing things that kind of just shift the energy of my space. And then I'm like, oh, I'm feeling good. Like, what could I do today that would be really positive for, you know, my clients or the people who haven't signed up to work with me in any way, shape or form yet, or just people who will never, ever work with me, but I want to make a difference in their day because who knows what the ripple effect is. And so I try to shift my energy, shift what I'm thinking, shift what I'm saying, and then just start reminding myself that, like, I live, like, if at the very least, I live in an abundant universe, right? I live in a place of infinite and endless possibilities. And if I can just, like, sing songs that remind me of that or get me in that space, then I start going like, yeah, I can do anything. Yeah, anything's possible. Yeah, let's make some magic happen. And so that's something that tends to work for me. If I'm in a really space, like if I'm in a space, sometimes music isn't enough and dancing, but a lot of times that's enough to kind of hack the system, do like a quick energy shift for me.
Ooh, I love it. Do you have a favorite go-to song or two?
I don't even want to say song. I'm going to say artists because I feel like, so Sia, for people who know Sia, like all of, like almost all of her songs are like, I'm the greatest, I'm unstoppable, like singing about how I'm titanium. Like I'm like, don't stop. Like she has a song where the lyrics are literally like, don't stop, never get up, keep on moving. So it's like things that are just like, I'm singing and I'm saying, and I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to give up. I'm going to keep going. I am the greatest. Like I'm unstoppable. Anything's possible. And it just puts me in that space.
I love it. I can feel it as you're talking. Let's take it back a step and go into your book. And a lot of people, when we say market your genius, they go first step. But Julie, I don't even know what my genius is yet. I don't know what my gifts, talents, and abilities are yet. I don't know how I want to serve the world. How do you help people to really answer that question within themselves?
Yeah. So I believe that identifying all of that is a journey. And I literally taught a workshop inside of one of my programs today. And I gave people this exercise that I think is really helpful for folks. And I literally had them write down every accomplishment, result, thing that they've ever personally achieved, and every result or something that they've helped someone else achieve, right? And just write it all down, like set a timer and just set nauseam. I don't care if it's like, I learned how to walk, right? I learned how to read, like whatever, like I helped someone get their first client, right? I, you know, lost 30 pounds. I don't know, like whatever it is, just like kind of get into like all the things that you've accomplished and write that down. Because as a first step, it helps you get an idea of like, well, I've accomplished these things. And I'm sure there's somebody out there who hasn't that would like to, right? And then you can start asking yourself, okay, well, how did I accomplish it? Like, what was unique or different about me? Like, what helped me have these things become a reality inside of my life? And then you start finding themes like, oh, well, I showed up with a positive attitude, or I'm really good at connecting people. I didn't even think about it, but like I got there because I just like love talking to people and connected with them. Or I am really connected with like a higher power. Like I'm really tapped in and connected. And so those sorts of things help you start figuring out and finding like, oh, like these are some things that are like my gifts, like my talents, right? And so it's really like asking yourself a lot of questions and journaling about it and not listening to the thought that comes to your mind, right? Because in doing this exercise, I had people that were like, you know what? I stopped midway through because I had the thought that like, I'm being too braggy. Like I should be more modest, or like, who am I to like claim any of this, right? And it's almost saying, all right, for 3 minutes or 60 seconds or whatever you can tolerate, I am just going to brag. Nobody ever has to see this. I'm just going to be braggalicious for a hot minute. And in the grand scheme of my life, it's okay to brag that much, right? Like just give yourself permission before you do it and then brag on yourself, right? Because that'll start helping you connect the dots in terms of things that you've achieved, things that you're really great at, that like things that you have as a gift. So that's one exercise that I like doing. Plus I'm always a believer of just, I don't know, praying on it and journaling about it. But I like doing the first exercise first to kind of help you come up with a list.
Yeah, I love that. That's something that Spirit's been bringing up a lot lately. It started with seeing this Instagram post, and I don't remember who posted it, but it was basically this professor saying to one of the students in the class, do you recognize that every time somebody gives you a compliment, you actually make a motion with your hand, like your hand is pushing away from your chest or your heart and pushing the energy away, like, oh no, not me, you know? And as he was saying this, I saw it from spirit in an energy way of, when people are trying to praise us, or we're trying to praise ourselves, just because we need it to keep going sometimes, but yet we're pushing it away or deflecting it and not allowing ourselves to absorb it, it really doesn't help us to move forward to that new step. It pulls us back.
100%. And it's like, folks have problems receiving compliments, acknowledging successes, receiving help. And it's like, it is a conscious decision until it becomes natural to transition back into being able to receive and being able to acknowledge what you've accomplished. Like, I remember some distinct moments where I was like, ooh, I should reflect on that. Like, it's kind of funny when I share this story now, but like, I was on an airplane. I had my luggage, like my carry-on, and this guy goes, and I had like a smoothie in my hand, and I had my suitcase, and this man was sitting, and he goes, oh, let me help you. And I go, great. And I hand him my smoothie, and that so that I could lift up my suitcase and put it in the overhead compartment. And I was like, this man wanted to put the suitcase in the overhead compartment for me, not hold my smoothie. And after I did it, he said, I am so sorry. I literally wasn't even thinking. Thank you so much. I really should have received that and allowed you to put up my suitcase. And he just kind of like laughed at me like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, like I'm blatantly not accepting help. Like I'm like, and what little help, and if I'm accepting help, it's literally like the smallest thing that someone could do. Hold this 2 ounce or 8 ounce or whatever smoothie while I lift up this heavy suitcase and put it in the overhead compartment. Like what? So it's taken some work on my part to go, no, like to say like, hey, I'm going to receive, please don't let that be the last time somebody asks me to put my suitcase up. I got the message that I was not paying attention to. Please allow that to happen in the future so that I can receive gifts. And so it's like, if I can't receive someone helping me put a suitcase above, how am I going to receive a compliment? How am I going to receive money? How am I going to receive any of that stuff? It starts small. Like just start being able to like sit with a compliment, you know, like just sit with it.
Ooh, I love that. Give yourself a compliment and sit with it and just really allow yourself to not reject it, not push it away, but really absorb it into your being. Okay. There's a lot of people who listen to this podcast who are either authors, they want to write a book, they want to start a business, and there are healers in every different line of work. I have women who want to work specifically with horses healing. I have women who are strict mediums. I have so many different people who are just energy healers, just so many different gifts, talents, abilities across the board. And so take that, hold it off to the side. The second component to this is I've been around marketing, writing, even like putting stuff together. Like 1996, I was learning how to take text and make headlines and put pictures in like the old school Canva. And I don't use this word lightly, but I hate marketing. Like I hate it. I hate putting myself out there. I hate, you know, that process. I hate trying to, it's not sell things, but I hate putting myself out there because that's the only way I'm going to be able to help people to get where they need to be. And marketing has changed so much since 1996, almost 30 years ago. It's so complex. There's so many different aspects. Let's start at square one. For somebody who's listening to this podcast, who's like, okay, Nikki and Julie, I do have gifts. I'm going to put myself out there to help others. Where do you even start with marketing these days?
Yeah.
What is necessary and how, and yeah, where do you start?
I am so going to answer the where we start. But the first thing I just have to say, because you said 1996, and then I thought about like how old I was and where I was. And you're like, I was writing headlines in the old school Canva. I don't know how old you are, but I'm pretty confident you don't look your age. And I just needed to share that with you because I was like, 1996? I was like, wait a minute. Like, what?
14 years old. I'm 42, but I started working for the Daily Herald and my high school newspaper in 1996. And we would take copy, you know, and plug it in. It was an old school system, kind of like we have for Canva today. But yeah, it was all like, how do you create a good headline? How do you write a good caption under a picture? Little did I know that it would prepare me for the day that we live in today.
Yeah, I was definitely not doing that in 1996. And we are not that far apart in age. I don't know what the heck I was doing. But I was like, what? I was like, 1996? I was like, could you speak in 1996? What are you talking about? So I just needed to say that because I was like, that was just boggling my mind. Yeah. But one of the things I will say about marketing is that the tactics and the modalities is what's changed. My belief system around what marketing actually is has not changed. And so I'm going to talk about that first and then go into the modalities and what somebody should do if they're just getting started, like my recommendation. But like in my mind, what marketing really is relationship building. It's like, it's going, hey, Julie, you know, you have this dream or this problem or something, right? And I over here, Nikki, I'm like getting to know you and listening for what your dream is and what your problems are. And I'm either going to come up with an idea and possibly a product with, you know, support from an actual team that can develop something. Or if I already know something that exists, I'm going to communicate it to you as a option or a possibility for you to use it to realize your dream or solve your problem. I'm just like getting to know people and solving problems. That's how I look at marketing. That's always how I've looked at marketing. And so I think because of that thought process, I find marketing fun and like, oh, I'm just solving problems. I'm like helping people all day. Like that's all I'm doing. And so if you have gifts, what I truly encourage you to do is to just go, okay, I have some gifts that I know could help people. And what is the easiest and most fun way for me to share that gift with a group of people? And I typically recommend, particularly for folks in this space of like healing, coaching, you know, all like whatever, like where the thing that is helping people is usually me, like in energy workers, whatever. It's like, it's coming from me. I tend to say, choose one online platform, right, that you enjoy, that you find interesting, and that you are willing to just share some version of your gifts with online, whether that be Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, like X, choose one and just say, I'm going to commit to showing up on this place daily, right? Like I'm going to say daily because most people get out of the habit. Now, if you are like, you know what, Nick, starting off the bat, I know I can't start daily. Like I'm crazy a little bit. So I'm like, I'm going to do this every day, right? If you could say like, all right, I'm going to go once a week, three times a week, but you're going to show up each and every week doing something on that platform. I say, start with that. Like start with what feels good to you and that you can actually do. I'm like, daily, let's see what happens, right? And come from the standpoint of, I'm going to picture a person who I know I could help. And I'm just going to speak to them on that channel. Like, I'm just going to create stuff for that one person that I hope is watching. And I don't care if like a million people end up watching or one person ends up watching, but I'm just going to show up every week, however many times that week I'm committed to doing, and I'm just going to add value. And like, there are two schools, like two kind of ways of going about this. Some businesses literally started by just giving away free content and being of service and value for years, like 2 years or so before they ever monetized it. So if you're really like, you know what, I have money coming in, I have my job, like I'm enjoying this, I just want to start using my gifts, then I say just like, you know, I also forgot to mention YouTube, but like choose something and just like show up regularly, right? And give value. And then if at a certain point you listen to people, I like the other platforms because there's more two-way communication. But like if you start getting comments or DMs or things where people are like, oh my gosh, I could really use your help or things like that, then you can add on services or products or something like that down the line. If you want to intentionally go into building this as a business, then I would absolutely do so, but I would make sure that you're not just doing, hey, I'm just giving value content for the heck of it. You want to think about like, what sort of call to actions are you going to deliver such that people book a call with you or something? Like, is there content that's really talking about the value, the benefits of working with you? Is there social proof or like case studies that you want to share? Like, there's more levels of type of content you want to weave in. But if you're just like, hey, I just want to test the waters for the next 90 days and like share my gifts on a platform, then just start doing it. There's no right, perfect way to do it. If people saw my first Facebook Lives that I did in like 2006 or 2007, they would literally be like, Nikki, that is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, yeah, because I had it in my mind that if I was going to help people with anything but business related, I had to look like a straight out of corporate business professional so that people took me seriously, because I have, especially then, like I have a baby face, but especially then. So I'm like, I already look like I'm 12. And like back in, you know, 2017 or whatever, like, I'm like, I already look young and I need people to take me seriously. So I got like Rent the Runway, like tweed, like stuff. And now I'm like, hey, I'm wearing a pink baseball, trucker hat. And I'm just like, hey guys, how's it going? But it was a different experience of me back then, but at least I kept showing up and I kept adding value and I kept, you know, doing that thing.
Well, that's it. You know, I think that that's one of the things that I was most scared of when starting this podcast was, what if I say something and then I get new information, because I'm just like an information nerd and a book nerd, and I change my mind and I have a different opinion. And then I've said something and it's in the podcast and it's how I feel for forever. That's what people think. But you have to let go of that in order to really be able to step into who you are authentically.
100%. And you know what you do? You record a new episode and said, hey, year ago, I recorded an episode thinking about this, but actually I think about something differently, right? Something that just, I like to look at either analogies or other things that help me shift my perspective. And when I really think about it, I'm like, you know, politicians, not for nothing, most of them change their mind and stance on things left and right and somehow still get elected. And still some people still love them. So I'm like, you know, I'm not that. So if I'm changing my mind, I'm probably giving like a lot of thought to it. Maybe I have more evidence. Like it's not going to be like I'm changing my mind every 5 seconds. I might just have had a new unique experience, or the way the world works has shifted, or, you know, and I think there's no problem being just transparent about it. And, you know, the people that really are going to get mad at you and flip out at you on it, those aren't your people. It's like, okay, good luck.
Well, and, you know, as we're talking about this, I think it's because, you know, if we're going to show up for people and serve others and help others, a lot of people want to be the best versions of themselves. But I've heard my counselor friends say this, like, counselors have so many different problems. We just don't talk about it with our clients, you know, and there are just, nobody is ever the perfect version. So what Spirit always says in sessions is, if you're waiting to be perfect, to step into your genius, to go do the thing, to help serve others, you're really like the reindeer with the carrot in front of its head, just constantly pushing your start date out further and further and further and further. And to your point before, that's where 90% of people on their deathbed say that they have regrets. And it's a regret of not doing something.
100%. You want to know how you get better at business. You want to know how you become the better version of yourself. You know how you like, you become better at marketing and get better results, become a better coach or heal. Repetition and persistence. Like, I'm sure if anybody who, you know, oh, the first time I did a healing session with someone, it was like this, but now look at me. Like, you have to put yourself out there and be in action. You have to live life. You have to do the thing. That's how you get better at it. And as someone who delayed starting a business because I thought I was going to like become this super genius, magical person that had all the information to succeed. No, what actually moved me further faster was making a ton of mistakes, sometimes very costly mistakes, but it moved me further faster than if I just sat around and like waited and thought about it. Like, it's in the taking of the action, in the doing the thing, that makes you better at it, that gets you the results that you want, that gets you to be the better version of yourself. I am not the best version of myself in life, I'm sure, but I know I'm a better version of myself than I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. I'm a better coach than I was when I first started. I'm better at creating content than when I first started, but I'm better at podcast guesting than when I first started. But I've done like over 100 podcast interviews, and I've probably interviewed over 100 people in like Instagram lives and all sorts of stuff. So it's like you get better the more you do it.
Absolutely. Well, and you start off your book that way. And I think it's really profound how you start off your book. And you're talking about how, you know, we all look at people on Instagram and these folks who are traveling the world and think, oh my gosh, you know, I want to be them. But your experience of it was much different. Would you share that with everybody?
Yeah. Like first of all, I was like, is everyone in Bali like without me? Like, I still have never been to Bali. But you know, for anybody who's probably like on the internet in this space and saw like everybody was doing a retreat, everybody was going there, everybody was doing something. But my first year of business, I was very focused on tangible money related results because I was like, if I make six figures, when I do these things, then my life will look like that. Then this will be better. Right. And I was always chasing like, once this happens, X will be better. And what ended up happening is I like hit certain milestones that I was gunning for, but I had a lot of debt. I had like, I was all over the place. I was not better off chasing the thing than had I just said, you know what? I'm just gonna share my gifts, focus on what I'm doing and move forward. Right. I wasn't better trying to chase the travel dreams, right? Like looking at numbers, it's like, I made all this money, but I was constantly traveling. I then spent a lot of money on traveling. I spent a lot of money on coaching that I quite frankly didn't need. And not because I don't believe in coaching, but I over invested in coaching courses. Like no person could probably have gone through all of the programs that I had invested in thinking that they're going to give me the secret and I'm suddenly going to be better. Right. And so I think my first year of business was not the beautiful laptop lifestyle that was so heavily marketed to me when I started and honestly still to this day. What I try to tell people now is that it just takes doing the work, showing up, making mistakes, and having faith. Like that, if you have nothing else but some faith and some action and like at least clarity on where you're trying to go, then like that's, you're so much further along than so many other people.
100%. You touched on something at the very, very beginning that I think like we should bring up here. There are some people, whether they're ADHD or not, they even get downloads or channel information and they have 100 different directions that they could go. But at some point when you're helping and serving, I guess I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'll rephrase this. Is it that some people are just supposed to be a jack of all trades and do a lot of things or a little of a lot of things? Or do we help serve others the most when you really get clear on what your mission is and go in one direction and not allow yourself to get sidetracked by all these other little things?
Yeah. Like I like to believe that I'm going to live a good amount of time. Like, let's say I turned 40 this year. So let's say on the low end.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you kindly. June 22nd, I will officially be 40. But let's say I've got like on the low end, another 30 years in me, right? Like, I feel like I could get a lot done in 30 years. So if I have 10 ideas, why am I trying to do all 10 of them in 1 year? Like, I'm probably not going to move the needle very far on anything. What if I chose the one that I'm most excited about and passionate about right now? And I say, I'm going to commit to this idea and I'm going to see it through and I'm going to get it like really far, because like you can move so much further faster when you're focused. That was a lot of F's. I'm going to put that on the further,
further, faster, right?
Further, faster, focused. And so I'm a big fan. And what I used to do is I would have this notebook, like it's not this particular notebook, but I would have a notebook and I would call it my idea notebook. And I would just write down all my ideas. And then I would go, okay, well, I've already committed to this. So I'm going to focus on this idea that I'm committed to. But I now know that I have all these other ideas so that I have like, I better kind of get this one to have momentum because I have a whole list of other things that I want to bring to the world. Right. And so do I think like you can be a jack of all trades and all of that? Yes. like you can have a lot of skills, but I encourage people to really choose something and commit to it and make magic happen with that one idea, because then you can get it further along. When I was trying to, like, this isn't a great example from a business perspective, I was selling one-on-one coaching 90 days for $3,000 when I first started. Okay. Like that was my package. I don't know. Like I just made up for people who are like, how did you choose that price? I literally pulled it out of the air. In fact, I was in a group coaching program and they had a module on pricing later on. And had I watched that module before I gave my pricing, I would have charged only $1,500 because that's what they recommended. But I was like, well, I already sold people. People are buying the $3,000. So I'm not going to change it. So like sometimes it's like, again, nobody knows what they're doing. People just make stuff up anyway. So I literally made it up and I'm like, this is what I'm selling. Then I watched something that was like, oh, great, get passive income. My stance on passive income has changed so much because passive income is only passive to a person, but it's still active. Like somebody has to be doing the active work for it to be passive. And until you have the money and resources to have somebody doing the active work, it's you. So it's like, get passive out of your head for a little bit, for a second, until you have the resources to make it passive by hiring somebody else to do it.
Explain that to people. Give people an example so that they see what you mean on that.
Yeah, example. Okay, so even when people are like, because I created this, I created a, I think it was like $27 course or something, right? Or something like mini course, or maybe, yeah, it was something cheap. And I was like, I know, I'm going to create this course because then I'm going to have passive income and people are just going to buy this course. Well, guess what? If nobody knows who I am and nobody knows the course exists, how the heck am I going to make all this money from the course? So what needs to happen is either I need someone out there promoting it, i.e. me, or I need to be running ads. Well, guess what? If I'm running ads, I don't just set ads on and forget it. You have to monitor the ads regularly and you have to change creative. You have to change the messaging. You have to tweak things that cost money, right? So like, and if I don't want to do it, then I have to hire someone who's going to do it, right? Which means I need money to do the thing. So if I don't have any money, what the heck am I doing trying to sell a $27 course to tons of people for it to fund my life, right? And it's not like I had an expensive life then. And so when I looked at the numbers, not enough people actually look at their data. So I actually looked at my data and I had all these people buying this $27 thing, right? But when I looked at the number of people that purchased it, and the amount of money it brought in, it didn't even bring in enough to replace one of my one-on-one clients, right? So I'm like, so I could just do some, like, I could just sell people into my high ticket one-on-one and make more money than this $27 thing. And on top of that, I didn't do a great job of figuring out how to get people who were buying the $27 thing to buy the $3,000 thing. So really, they were just people that bought something from me and never talked to me ever again. So it's like, that was actually a distraction. Looking back, I was like, that was a distraction. If I just doubled down on filling up my one-on-one, I would have made more money and been happier and served people at a higher level, right? So it's like, it's really realizing that, right? Like I think about, people understand like concepts like having stock. I was like, what is this, the things that people get in the stock market? Stocks. Hello, Nikki. Like had a momentary lapse. Like if you have a retirement fund, right? Or if anybody you know has a retirement fund, people are like passive income. No, somebody is actively managing that fund to make sure you don't lose all your money unless you just put it somewhere and never look at it ever again. But usually somebody is doing something. You want to have real estate, right? Somebody has to be getting the renters in, making sure they're paying their rent, making sure that the property is being well taken care of. And when renters leave, making sure that it is getting like repainted, all that stuff. Like somebody has to do it. So it's like either you're doing it or you're hiring someone to do it, right? So whatever it is, all these things where people are like, oh, do this, it's passive income. No, it's passive when you hire someone else to do it, right? Like whoever owned some of the companies I worked for, like I worked for Intel, whoever was probably like just like an owner and didn't do anything. Yeah, it's passive income for me because my butt and a bunch of like thousands of other people are running the company, right? So it's passive for somebody. They had the resources to make it passive for them.
I want to make this apply to everybody because it's not just about passive income. What you're talking about is a lot of us, even as adults, think that we can go do things, but it takes ton more time to go actually do the thing that your brain is like, oh, this is easy. Just go over here and do this. But it takes a ton of time. And so when we have these big to-do lists, because I'm like looking at it over there, I've got one of those mega post-its that just massive for the wall. And it says great ideas on it, so that every time I have a great idea, I put it on the list and then I prioritize once I'm done with this project, which one do I want to pull off and do next? What I often realize though is I don't have enough time to do it all. Like one thing takes so much more time than you would think it does.
100%. The other day, so I have a accelerator program. I'm revamping. I already revamped the content. And the other day I was like, I need a workbook for this. Now in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to totally bang out this workbook in like 5 seconds. Like, no problem. No, this workbook took me hours, right? So I'm sitting there and it'll be faster now because I now have a template that's like that I created, that's the right colors and all that other stuff. But I'm like, that took me way longer than I expected. I set timers for myself. So I'm like, I'm going to get this done in 20 minutes. And I will say, you know, insert the word Alexa, and then I'll say like, set a timer. Say it quietly before she goes, all right, Nikki, I'm setting the timer. But I'll be like, set a timer for this period of time. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get it done in that period of time. And then I'm setting that timer like 3-4 times. Everything takes longer. And so I'm sitting here like, all right, you know what? Like this is why we have team. This is why you get a VA or support, because me spending hours doing that is taking away from me spending hours doing something else, whether it's a sales call or like actually teaching inside the program or being on a podcast interview or other things that only I can do. Like somebody else could create a workbook, right? Like they could do that, but they can't be Nikki on a guest on a podcast. They can't do that. So I'm with you. It's like figure out the things that only you can do, and then really think about like bringing somebody else in to do the other stuff.
Yeah. With your marketing expertise and everybody out here who wants to grow a business, I think one of the biggest questions Spirit wants me to bring through so that they have the answer is, if you put your psychic cap on, where do you see marketing going, social media going over the next 10 years?
Ooh, okay. I think it is going to be like, it's going to be a good and a bad thing. I think it's going to be significantly easier for people to market online because of AI. Like, I think like AI is already making my life easier, and I'm a marketer. Like, I can just be like, hey, can you do this thing? Like, he still needs like strategy behind it, but it's like, depending on what you're using, ideally it's getting smarter every time you're using it. So ultimately it could replace me in doing certain things, right? I think because of that, it's probably going to increase the already crowded online marketplace with content and advice and things like that, because it's going to be significantly easier. The barrier to entry was already really low, but now it's like even lower, and like lower with pretty good quality, like really great quality, right? So I think that because of that, the ability for people to build relationships with their prospective clients and with their actual clients in person in a way that can't be replicated by like machine learning or AI or something like that is going to be incredibly important. But right now, to run events or to do things with people in person, it takes capital. So it's like, if people can think, like, not a ton, but like, you know, you can have people over at your house, like you can do whatever you want.
Oh, no. Here in the Chicagoland area, I wanted to plan a spiritual retreat. And this is just a great case in point. You know, I was getting ready to do a podcast episode that I do every January 1st, which is like, what does Spirit want people to know about the next year? And Spirit goes, you're going to run a spiritual retreat. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to get through January, and then February, I'll start looking at it. Well, all February, I went to every single hotel within probably a 25-mile radius. And they all wanted a very, very, very large sum, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for a room that pre-COVID was one-fifth of that, one-fourth of that. Like, it was off the charts. And so, no, I totally get it. It's very, very costly. And it just breaks my heart into pieces, because then people go, oh, Julie, why are your prices this? And you're like, because I'm paying for so much that you're not seeing, but everything is either getting donated back to the community or helping people in some way, or going back into the business to create more hope and to spread more hope and more love.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I really do think that what the world needs and what will probably happen, hopefully, is more human connection. My concern is that because it's becoming easier to be isolated and to not actually speak to people, that like it, that is also another possibility that like things just go awry and nobody, like, you know, but I think a lot of people are craving like human connection and relationships. So I think that will probably be even more of a role inside of marketing.
Amazing. I love that. I think it's so needed, that human connection. Nikki, tell everybody where they can find you, your book, Market Your Genius, and just everywhere you are.
Yes. So my favorite place to hang out is on Instagram. So you guys can find me there. I'm at Nikki Nash Official. It's where I ideally provide content, resources, things along those lines that really help people turn their gifts and genius into a profitable business, but also just share it with more people. So I would say that's probably the best place to connect with me. I also link to my book on that profile so you can easily access it, but it's available where all books are sold. I'm grateful for Hay House, who's my book publisher. And so it's in places I didn't even know I could get a book. So it's all over the place. And then it's like, if you walk into a bookstore and they don't have it, they can order it for you. And a lot of them will, if they sold out or if it didn't make it into their store, it's something that they can easily get for you. So if you have your local faves, by all means, just tell them the name of the book and my name, Nikki Nash, and they'll get it for you.
Amazing. Nikki, thank you for being you and sharing your gifts and talents with the world. I so appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much again for having me.
Friends, I need your help reaching as many people as possible. If you'd like to support this podcast and help us spread more hope to the world, please book a session with me, join my Angel membership, or take my Angel Reiki school. What's the difference? If you'd like to know what messages your angels and loved ones have for you, you'll want to book a session with me. The Angel membership is all about your own personal spiritual healing. The membership takes you on a spiritual journey that teaches you how to create your own heaven on earth. And the Angel Reiki School is for those who want to get certified in mediumship, angel messages, and energy healing all at once. These are three ways you can support us so that we can reach more people with a message of hope and love. These are three ways you can help us share a message of hope and love with more people than ever before. Register for one or all three at theangelmedium.com. That's theangelmedium.com. Now, let's pray together. As we do, I want you to pray in a way where you feel as though everything you want for yourself and the world has already come true. And you're giving thanks. Why? Because this is the best way to manifest. So let's begin. God, universe, source, thank you. We're so grateful that you've blessed this world with calm and peace for all. This calm and peace has spread like ripples, soothing the hearts of every soul. Thank you for opening our hearts to abundance, allowing each of us to live our most authentic life, and helping us to create our own heaven on earth. We thank you for the love and deep heart-to-heart connection that surrounds us every day in our relationships. We thank you for the abundance of health and aliveness we feel radiating from every cell in our and our families' bodies. Thank you for the gift of walking this life with us and guiding us every step of the way through your messages. We hear you through our own intuition, and we feel you walking right by our sides, and we overflow with gratitude. Thank you for financial abundance and abundance of opportunities and miracles, blessings and prosperity in every way We know that you want us to succeed so that we can show others how you want them to succeed too. Thank you for the boundless love, kindness, empathy, and compassion that binds us all together. Thank you for the laughter, fun, moments of pure delight that fill us every day, especially today. God, Universe, Source, thank you for blessing us beyond measure and allowing us to use our souls, gifts, talents, skills, and abilities to serve the world. We love you. I love you. And in this we pray. Amen. Friends, we're working on some pretty major things over here. And if you wouldn't mind saying a little prayer that these things come to fruition if they're God's will, we'd so appreciate it. And please add a little prayer in for any specific thing you need right now, too. Have a beautiful, blessed day. And don't forget to submit your contact info at theangelmedium.com if you'd like me to channel the name of one of your angels for you. Sending you peace, bliss, and many blessings.